So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Bill Bernard is the Senior Director of Solutions Architecture with DeepWatch and a cybersecurity expert. Bill, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, thanks for having me on, Elise. Good to talk to you today.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you, too. So tell us what happened with the JBS USA cyber attack this weekend.
Yeah, so details are kind of sketchy and frankly, probably will forever be sketchy because JBS doesn't, they don't seem to fall under any requirements here in the U.S. that are going to make them tell us much about this breach. So what we know is they had a breach. We know that they told us about it, probably in part because it's going to impact their ability to do business for at least a couple of days. There's reports of them not being able to accept animals for slaughter and to do some of the processing that they need to do at various sites around the world. But unfortunately for me as an information security professional, and I think for the general public, they're not really under a lot of obligation to tell us much more. They're not a company that deals with personal information like your social security number, your banking info. They're not a company that is publicly traded here in the U.S., so the FTC can't require them to tell us about that breach. So we may never know much more than we know already, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is too bad because it's really helpful to understand, you know, what type of attack it was and, of course, whether the Russians were behind it, as it looks like they were for Colonial Pipeline. Tell us a little bit about that group because they seem to disband all at once, like they got their $5 million and then they're like, okay, we're not going to do this anymore.
Yeah, that's probably more marketing, frankly, to use a business term and apply it to a crime group.
Sure.
But, you know, there were lots of signs from that one that they didn't realize the kind of a company they were attacking. And, you know, they got a lot of attention for doing it, right? I mean, President Biden sped up his executive order and some of the other things that he was trying to do around cybersecurity in part as a response to this. Obviously, you know, the FBI and other resources get involved in these larger ransomware sorts of issues wherever they can and whenever possible. But when you attack something that the Department of Homeland Security calls critical infrastructure, you've now put a very large target on your own back. And so this is probably more a matter of self-preservation for them that they've quote-unquote gone dark and their quote-unquote industry has shunned them. All the people involved in that are going to, you know, they're going to do one of two things, right? They're going to sort of rebrand just like an unsuccessful company might try to do here in the U.S. As a legitimate business, or they're going to sort of move their separate ways and get hired on to other groups that do the same sort of work. So, yeah, I'm thrilled that they're quote-unquote gone, but I'm not pretending that means much more than marketing.
Yeah, right, of course. Now, have you heard anything about JBS USA paying a ransom the way that Colonial Pipeline had to?
No, you know, it's easy to assume that's what this attack was all about, right? Because we've seen these attacks move to being financially based. You know, for instance, I really don't expect we'll ever hear that it was an animal rights activist that hacked their environment to stop them, you know, from slaughtering animals and processing meat and such. So yeah, it's a good assumption that this was probably ransomware based. And no, we don't know if number one, the attack was quote unquote successful enough to cause them to feel they need to pay ransomware, or that it absolutely was ransomware in the first place. That's just conjecture right now, unfortunately.
Got it. So when you're developing solutions architecture, you know, for cybersecurity purposes, tell us a little bit about how we can all protect ourselves, because I know that, you know, people, especially small and medium-sized businesses, are really struggling to get the kind of expertise you need to fight against this sort of stuff. It always seems like the criminals are one step ahead.
It does, doesn't it? And I think there's a couple of principles that we can apply, especially to small and medium business, right? Number one, you know, think of it as business critical as you think of your accounting as being business critical. And don't be afraid to outsource that, right? Lots of small businesses hire an outside firm to help them with accounting, things along those lines. don't try to be the experts in information security inside your own small company. Go ahead and hire, you know, a third party to help do that. There's plenty of them out there that can help bring you lots of support. And then I think one of the other key principles is don't pretend that you can't be a target, right? Don't pretend that your business isn't valuable enough to be a target. Let's face it, they went after a meatpacking company, right? Not something terribly strategic. It's not a hospital. It's not, right, any of those other things that we've heard about in the news recently. Really, they're going after anybody who they think they can get some money out of. So the good thing is, you know, maybe smaller companies, you're not as likely to be hit with something big, but, you know, you're still there. You're still absolutely, vulnerable to it. So those are a couple of key things. But, you know, in principle, I would suggest you want to prevent everything you can. You want to be able to detect very, very quickly when something you couldn't prevent happened, and then you need to take immediate action. And I think lots of companies sort of try to do the first part, and they forget about the second and the third, and that's where a lot of these problems come in.
You know, we just have a couple of minutes left, Bill, but tell us what we should do if this happens to you or to your website and it gets hacked. You know, what are the steps that you take? I know what you should do if you have somebody steals your identity, but I really don't know what to do if somebody hacked my website.
Sure. So if somebody hacked your website, right, and we're talking small business here, that sort of thing, if somebody's hacked your website, you know, the first thing to do is bring it offline. Make sure that your website can't now become their tool to do something else. Because when they're going after some of our smaller businesses and stuff, that's really what they're doing. They're trying to find a way in somewhere else because they got through your security. So do that as quickly as you can. And then, frankly, you know, if you've got the backups and the ability to sort of start over, right, and build it from something you know is clean and you know has not been compromised. And if you can't do that, that's where you need to be very careful about kind of going back to a known good state. And once you've got that known good state, figure out how they got in the first place before you turn things back on so that you don't just give them another opportunity to bite the same apple.
Right. And that's a good point is that, you know, for example, I know that in my ThinkLink website, every night around 2 a.m., there's an automatic backup that's made no matter what happened during the day. Even if I think I'm backing up my website, there's another deeper backup that's made. So there's duplication somewhere. And I think that's, you know, we always think about it in terms of like a hard drive failure, but it's very useful if you have something like this happen and you can just wind it back to yesterday. Yep. So you aren't really losing that much data.
Absolutely true. But we also have to think about the fact that you've probably now written over whatever security updates came out between the time that backup was taken and today. So remember to go do those security updates, right? Update your operating system, update the software you're using. Be vigilant about that. That's one of the most important things that a business can do to help keep themselves safe.
You know, one of the things that I know we've looked at, and we just have a last minute, but there are web programs like WordFence, where if anybody tries to log in from anywhere in the world with the wrong password, it immediately blocks out that IP address. Is that a good thing to add?
Absolutely. I'm a fan of, you know, belt and suspenders, right? One security solution is helpful, but two, backing each other up is even better. Now, obviously, there's a level at which that's counterproductive because it makes it much harder for you to get in and you to do your work. But that's the trade-off we're talking about, right? Is it a little bit harder for me to do my stuff because I've got to go through my own security checks every time versus how easy it is for the bad guy to come in and impersonate me or do my thing. So absolutely, you want more of those sorts of things. And one of the other things, Elise, frankly, for folks with small businesses and stuff, look at what we call multi-factor authentication. Mm-hmm. Using, you know, something you know, like a password is one factor. Something you are, like fingerprints, biometrics, retina scans, is a second one. And a third one is something you have. And for most of us, that something you have can be your cell phone or a physical token that somehow is part of your login experience. And lots of hosting sites for us with small businesses are able to take advantage of those tools from companies like Google, Duo, Okta, etc., that are out there and can help with those things for us.
Bill, all of such great advice. Bill Bernard is the Senior Director of Solutions Architecture for DeepWatch. Where can people find you?
deepwatch.com.